Welcome to the Achievable FINRA podcast. I'm Tyler, the founder of Achievable, and we have affordable courses for the FINRA SIE, Series 6, Series 7, 63, 65, and 66 exams with industry best pass rates. Each Achievable course includes everything you need to pass the first time. A full textbook, videos on key topics, thousands of questions backed by our memory-enhancing algorithm, and full-length practice exams. You can try it out for free at achievable.me, and if you like it, use the code PODCAST to get you 10% off at checkout. This podcast was made from a video by Achievable's FINRA course author, Brandon Rith. If you'd like to have the visual aid of a video, please go to Achievable's YouTube channel and search for the video by the same name.
Stop orders are one of the four primary types of orders we need to know for the exam. And in this video specifically, we will focus on self-stop orders. Stop orders are primarily used as a way to protect an investor against losses on another investment. Most of the time, this will involve things like shares of stock or maybe an exchange-traded fund. So for an example, let's go ahead and just assume that we own shares of stock at 60. Now, owning stock comes with benefits. If the market price were to rise to 70, 80, 90, 100 and keeps going up, 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 the higher it goes, the higher we can sell that stock for later and the bigger the capital gain we will realize when we do so. That's the good of owning stock. But the bad is what if the market price starts falling? 55, 50, 40, 30, 10, zero. The market price could theoretically go all the way down to zero, although that's relatively rare and uncommon. It could happen if the issuer of that stock goes bankrupt. So those are the two big things we want to keep in mind when we own stock. We like it when the stock price goes up because we can sell the stock at a higher price later, but also we're losing money if the market price goes down. A sell stop order could help an investor avoid losing more money. So let's say that both of us own this stock at 60 and we ask ourselves, okay, what is the most we're willing to lose in the stock before we want to get out of it? And let's say that the most we're willing to lose is $10 per share. So we place a sell stop at 50 into the system. What this order will do is it will start selling our stock once the market price hits 50 or below. And this is a way to tell our broker dealer, hey, I like this stock. Let's not sell it right now. If we wanted to sell it right now, we just enter a market order. We like this stock, but I want to get out of it. I want to cut my losses once we lose $10 per share or more, specifically at $50 per share. I want to sell the stock. And that's what will happen with this type of order. It will sit and pend until the market price hits 50 or below, and then it will start going through the steps of being executed once it hits that price range. If over the next several weeks, our stock slowly starts trickling downward and eventually ends at zero, it would be a good thing that we had this in place and sold the stock at 50 before it fell further. And that is how stop orders help people protect themselves against risk in the market. In terms of guarantees, stop orders generally don't guarantee anything. With our order here, if the market price doesn't go to 50 or below, nothing happens. The order just sits and waits. So execution is not guaranteed with a stop order. There is also no price guarantee either. Now there is a price specified, that's 50 or below, but once the market price hits 50 or below, the order triggers. Sometimes we use the word elected or elects instead of triggered, same thing. But once the order triggers, it becomes a market order. And if you remember with market orders, they execute at the next available price. So basically, we need the market price to hit 50 or below for anything to happen here. But once it triggers, it just becomes a market order and goes through at the next available price. Given the fact that next available price could be anything, there is no price guarantee either. The furthest we could go with guarantees is we could say once the order triggers, there is an execution guarantee. We know the order will go through at that point. But if we look at an untriggered stop order, there's no execution guarantee because there's no guarantee that the price will go to the price range specified. And secondly, if it does get to that price range and triggers, there's no price guarantee. Goes to the next available price, whatever that is. All orders that specify a price of any form, including stop orders, must be given a time frame that is associated with them. And at the very least, they either need to be designated as day orders, which will cancel by the end of the day if they don't go through, or good till canceled orders, we call them GTC orders, which stay in the system until they're either executed or they're canceled by the investor, whichever happens first. The last thing to cover real quick is to revisit our friend Slobs Over Bliss. This acronym will help you determine quickly and easily where we need the market price to go for an order to start going through the action of being executed. Now, again, we had a sell stop at 50. We thought through it and talked through how it works, but if we're just using Slobs Over Bliss, all we need to do is identify that we have a sell stop order, SS is below the line, so that tells us for this order to start being executed, we need to see the price 50 or below for that to happen. That's how you use Slobs Over Bliss. Let's test ourselves and make sure we feel really good about the concept of a sell stop order. So I'm going to put a question on the board. There it is. Take a minute, pause the video, see if you can answer the question yourself. And when you hit play, we will look at it together. Okay, an investor submits the following order. They want to sell 100 BCD shares at 90 stop. At the bottom, they give us a bunch of market prices that the stock is available at, and then the question is, what statement is true? Obviously, based upon the answers given to us, we need to know what exactly happens with this order. When does it trigger? When does it execute? And we know already, stop orders have that two-step process. You have to trigger first, and then they get executed second. Let's go back to our friend Slobs Over Bliss. We know we have a sell stop order. Easy, it's right in the name. SS is below the line, so we know in order for something to start happening here, we need to see the market price of 90 or below. Now that we know we're looking for 90 or below, we'll go to the market prices provided. We want to assume these market prices were given to us in chronological order, so we'll read them from left to right, and we're simply just looking for the first price we see that is 90 or below. Sometimes this happens, but the first price that you come across might be in the threshold you're looking for. 89 is 90 or below. And that's not a mistake. A lot of times these questions are set up this way to trick you and make you think you don't know what you're looking for. But 89 for sure is 90 or below. And that is where the order will trigger. Once the order triggers, it becomes a basic market order, which will execute at the next available price. In this case here, that is 91. A lot of people taking these exams would be confused by the fact that this order executes ultimately in 91, which is a price above the price you specified. We know that SS is below the line. We were looking for 90 or below for it to trigger. But again, once it triggers, all price requirements are out the window. It's just a market order. So we just needed to see 90 or below for the order to trigger. Once it triggered, goes through at the next available price, which could be above 90, could be at 90, could be below 90, could be any price. In this case here, the order triggered at 89 and it executed at 91.